الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش الله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most painful moment in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most painful moment for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama and scholars have even mentioned that the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very sensitive issue, the most sensitive issue in the annals of Islamic history. Now, just to give you an explanation as to why the demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such a sensitive issue, when we look at the major religions of the world today, example Judaism, Christianity, religions that even Islam to a degree has recognized, that Islam has labeled them to be as people of the book, the Ahl Kitab, you will find that the major religions have lost their vital spark. And the reason for that is, when we study world religions critically, you will notice that those who became the successors of the founders of that religion, those who became the successors of the founders of that religion, they lacked in sincerity and steadfastness. And therefore, the entire framework of that religion was completely frail. And so the scholars have mentioned that it is vitally important that the man who is selected to be the successor of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be a very powerful individual, a man of iron will, an incredibly powerful individual. It's not about just the nabuwat of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but again, to continue with the foundation that comes after the demise of a nabi, after the death of a nabi. So this was an extremely sensitive issue. For an example, Maulana Abul Hassan Nadvi has written that when you look at Judaism, Hazrat has said that if you look at the encyclopedia of the Jewish people, it is mentioned that through magic and mysticism, shirk, polytheistic customs crept into the Jewish people again, and because of that they lost the pristine teachings of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So shirk entered the Jewish community because of sihr, because of magic. So when you open up the Quran and when you read the stories of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it's all about magic. Fir'aun and his party and the magicians that were there and who wanted to overpower Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. It is all about sihr. And sihr in the Arabic language means magic. And Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi says that when you look at Christianity, unfortunately, in its very infancy, it was perverted. For an example, Hazrat says that the Roman Empire was a pagan culture. These were pagans, mushrikeen. And when Christianity met with the Roman Empire, some form of a compromise was made there. That is why when we say about Sunday, Sunday means sun as in the day they would worship the sun. Not the sun as in S-O-N, but S-U-N. That they would worship the sun. And all of these names, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, are all connected to shirk. Which we won't go into that. But when the Roman Empire embraced Christianity, they did not embrace Christianity 100%. That is why in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Enter into Islam kafatan, 100%. 100%. And with the Roman Empire becoming Christians, they came with a compromise that we will not leave our pagan culture and what we believe in. And so it was a mix and match identity of Christianity. And that was the difficult moment, a great difficulty for the Christians. And then the second cancer was with a man whose name was Saint Paul. This man came with a complete different spin to Christianity and gave it a complete different twist. And nothing is left from the real true teachings of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And therefore, ulama have mentioned it is so important that after the demise of a Nabi, the people who succeed the founder of that religion have to be incredible, powerful individuals. So for an example, if you look at ancient Hinduism, they lost track because of the fact that they had this deep love and passion for idolatry, multiplicity in deities. So many gods that at the end of it now, the total comes to 330 million gods. Musa, 330 million gods. And this is written by Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great thinkers of Islam, of Nadwa, Lucknow University. People have heard of this individual. 330 million gods. And so this was a decisive moment, the most difficult moment in the annals of Islamic history. It was like as if although many tribes had embraced Islam, but Islam was like an island in Madinatul Munawwara, surrounded by a pagan culture at that time. Though many had embraced Islam, but it was such a sensitive issue. It was the most difficult moment for the companions. Who is the man who will succeed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Who from amongst the companions takes up this challenge and this honor rather to be the Khalifa, Khalifa Awwal bila faslin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And we need to understand that clearly without any kind of doubt. Alhamdulillah, we are covering the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. We have covered his life until the departure of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and now the contributions of Hazrat Ali during the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. But the mindset has to be clear with regards to the fact that without a doubt, who is the Khalifa? And so you have a group of people today, unfortunately, deviant sects and groups that take a different opinion and a different approach and who don't have the love for the companions. and they will have love for a certain group of people and have hatred for the other section of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so it's very important that we understand Islamic history. The man who is to be the Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be a man of indomitable courage and conviction, that even at the time of danger, such danger that it affects the entire fabric of Iman and faith, even then that individual will come out blazing with guns and no compromise. So there is no compromise. You have to look for that individual. A man who will follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sunnah that is chalked out by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the very letter, only that individual can be the Khalifa. And alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, majority of the ummah and the followers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have no doubt that the Khalifa from amongst the ranks of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Without a doubt, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was a young man, very young in age. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an very mature, and the best friend of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just to dispel any kind of doubt in the minds of people, if they have doubt, because shaitan otherwise can conjure up different things in the mind, what will happen. And nowadays you have to be very, very careful with the sky package that is around. You have so many channels, al-iyazu billah, and openly you'll find people swearing at the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bila mubalagha, honestly swearing at the companions, making a mockery of sahaba-i kiram ajma'in, aliyazu billah. And so we have to be so careful, because technology, with your technology, knowledge is accessible and you can be influenced. And so we have to have our iman has to be very, very firm and very, very strong, my respected brothers. Just one episode from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will dispel any kind of doubt that any individual could have with regards to the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. When we look at the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is divided into two portions. Into two portions. And that line that divides the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that line is the most important line in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That line is the most dangerous journey and the most sacred journey. A journey which Allah has made, a journey which is immortalized in the words of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I refer to the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to make sure any wrong move would mean disaster. All of the Qurayshi people were at the verge of capturing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, aliyazu billah, to ambush him. 100 camels will be given as a prize to anyone who informs of the whereabouts of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the people who will assist Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have to be individuals who are 100% trustworthy. 100% trustworthy. And from amongst all the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, all of them there, the Khulafa-i Rashideen were there, Hazrat Uthman was there, Hazrat Umar was there, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was there, Abdul Rahman bin Auf was there, Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Waqas was there, Hazrat Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib was there, all of Sa'ad and Sa'id, all of the Ashra-i Mubashara were there. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 101% completely trusts one individual whose name is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And this is also mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to be as thaniyathnain, when the second of the two, when the second of the two, referring to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. The ulama have mentioned that the episode of Hijra is so important in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And during the period of Hijra, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, because from amongst the ranks of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, all of them were trustworthy, but no one was Siddiq like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore the scholars, the muhaddithin, the mu'arrikhin unanimously agree that this is just from shaitan. If anybody else was to think otherwise, without a doubt, Khilafat only belongs to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. This is one proof. And then again, my respected brothers, Islam functions upon the five pillars. The five pillars are very famous in Islam. The first is Shahada. When we analyze all the pillars, Shahada is your individual declaration of faith. You don't need a deputy or you don't need a representation. Anybody who wants to become a Muslim has to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you look into the farz, the pillar of fasting, that again is your individual act of worship, that you individually have to fast. You don't need somebody as a deputy. And if you look at zakat, zakat again is an individual act of worship, that if Allah has given you money, you have to take 2.5% out and give it to the needy people. So we've covered three pillars: shahada, fasting, and zakah. But when we look into the pillar of salah, in salah you need a deputy, you need some kind of representation. And that deputy representation is known as an imam. An imam. And so we need to see that during the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the entire duration of the lifespan given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions would only read salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But a time came when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell ill. And Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah is a sahabi. He says that I asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that can you explain to me the period of time when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell ill and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated in front of Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah the entire incident. And she said to Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an, that when the illness of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam became severe, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell unconscious. He fell unconscious. And then when he regained consciousness, he looked at the family members and he said to some of the companions that were there, that have my companions performed their salah? And the companions informed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Ya Rasulullah, the companions are waiting for you in the masjid. The companions are waiting for you in the masjid. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the family members that I want you to go get for me water in a basin. Enough water in a basin. And water was brought in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. According to one narration, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with that water bathed and did ghusl. And after his ghusl, again he fell unconscious. And again the companions were close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then when he opened up his eyes again, he repeated the same question. And he said to the family members and the companions, that have the companions performed their salah? And this was Isha salah. That have they performed the Isha salah? And the companions informed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that no, they are waiting for you, Ya Rasulullah. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bring the basin in front of me. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifted up his hands. And just by lifting up his hands, Allah's Nabi became so weak that he fell unconscious again. Again Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's eyes were shut. And then again thereafter when he opened up his eyes, again the same question was repeated, that have the companions performed their salah? And the companions informed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Ya Rasulullah, we are waiting for you to come to the masjid and to lead the companions to salah. It is at this point, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is the narrator. She says that for the first time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it clear to the companions. And he said to the companions, now this minute, I want you to go and instruct Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to be the imam of my companions in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is even mentioned, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was a very humble man. A very humble man. So when the messenger came with the message of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an looked at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, Umar, you lead the people to salah. Umar, you lead the people to salah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an made mu'anaka and musafaha with the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said that this honor is only for you, O Abu Bakr. This honor is only for you that you lead the people to salah. And only thereafter Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an stood up and he led the companions to salah. Only at one occasion in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that it was time for Zuhr and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt better. The effects of the illness decreased and he was feeling a bit better. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Abbas and Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and these were family members, so they were at all times in the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was in the masjid and he had stood up to lead the people to salah for Zuhr. And while saying Allahu Akbar, or he was about to say Allahu Akbar, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into the masjid with the support of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. When he entered the masjid, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an understood that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, sahaba-i kiram ajma'in were overjoyed to see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam signaled to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, stay where you are, stay where you are and continue, stay where you are and continue. And he said to Hazrat Abbas and he said to Hazrat Ali, let me sit close to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Let me sit close to. And so just imagine, my respected brothers, that this is where the imam is. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into the masjid. The saf was behind. The two individuals that were forward were Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That was the relationship that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And who can take away this honor from this great man, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam led the people to salah and he was sitting down in a sitting posture. And even Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was an imam, and the people would look at the postures of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq because he was standing up and they would follow him. But in any case, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed this Zuhr salah in the company of the companions close to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Now again, if we analyze the five pillars where you need a deputy and where you need some kind of a representation, somebody to be selected as an imam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he wanted Hazrat Ali to be the Khalifa, was it difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that Ali, you lead the people to Salah? Umar, you lead the people to Salah? Uthman, I want you to lead people to Salah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, where are you? I want you to lead people to Salah. Was it difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or he could have said that one Salah Hazrat Abu Bakr should lead, one Salah Hazrat Umar should lead, one Salah another Sahabi should lead. No. But he gave this entire package of Salah during the period when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill, only, wholly and solely to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, so that there should be no doubts in the minds and the hearts of the people of this ummah that the Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is only Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Which other pillar is left, my respected brothers? The pillar of Hajj. Now in Hajj, you also need an Amir. In Hajj, you also need an Amir. Although we don't have an Amir when we go for Hajj. But there is an Amir. And the Amir has been appointed by the Saudi government. The Amir of Hajj has been appointed by the Saudi government. He is the Imam. He is the man who will lead the people to prayer in the masjid. So in a way, he is the imam. So you need deputy, you need representation when you go for Hajj. And Hajj became farz in the year 9 Hijri. Hajj became farz in the year 9 Hijri. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Hajj in the year 10 Hijri. And that Hajj is known as Hajjatul Wida. Now when Hajj became farz in the year 9 Hijri, who did he appoint as an Amir? Who did he appoint as an Amir? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He did not appoint anyone but Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he said that I am appointing your Amir. 300 Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een had put on the Ihram to perform Hajj. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has revealed to me and Hajj has become farz. But in the year 9 Hijri, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the masail of Hajj to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq became the Amir of Hajj. And he went to Makkah Mukarramah and he showed the people how Hajj should be performed. And then the very next year, alhamdulillah, all of Madinatul Munawwara, majority of the companions, men and women, accompanied Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Hajjatul Wida. And so these are three main points in the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we need to keep in the mind at all times. The hijrah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who accompanied him was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Imamat, which is the greatest sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, though he was a muhaddis, though he was a faqih, though he was a great scholar, his entire life he did imamat. Imamat is great honor. Qari Tayyib sahab rahmatullah alayhi, one of the most inspiring scholars of this ummah, his entire life he did imamat. Khulafa'i Rashideen, Hazrat Abu Bakr, imamat. Hazrat Umar, imamat. Hazrat Uthman, imamat. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the main profession, their job was imamat. And this imamat is great honor. And this honor was given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And again, Hajj is the fundamental pillar in Islam. The first Amir in Islam was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, it is important that we understand this. And inshallah, in the next session of Dars-e Hadith, we will continue with the contributions that come from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, whilst Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was appointed as a Khalifa. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa atana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.